Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Good to see you all. It's an exciting day today for those of you who are visiting or kind of have been in and out. Today we are doing a couple of things. We're continuing on with our series in Nehemiah, but we're also kicking off the capital campaign, and because we are moving. So as a church, if you haven't heard, end of June, we are out of here. We love being here, but they're tearing the building down, so we can't stay here. They're making us move. So these are like our last month and a half of services here in this location. So we're on a journey as a church looking for a new place. We have a month and a half. We have some places booked, but we're still looking for a better space. So that's always exciting. And it's kind of like a biblical thing. When you read through the Bible of all the different guys who went through journeys, it always feels like, you know, God leads them all over, never in a straight line. It's never a straight line, like you're going from here to there. It's always like a here and around, and so we're kind of doing that. I think we visited over 60 locations that we've looked at as possible places to meet, and we found one that we can use, but we're still looking to upgrade from there. So join with us, and as we continue to pray, that's why we're calling it Nehemiah, the journey. It's the journey of God, what God did in Nehemiah and what God did in Jerusalem. It's a reflection of what God is doing in us, personally, individually, as well as a church. We are all on a journey together. The Bible talks about how Abraham just viewed his life on earth as a sojourner, that he just recognized that his real home was in heaven. But this life was a journey with God and a preparation for eternity. And so we're helping each other prepare for eternity as we come together. So thank you for being on the journey with us. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, thanks for being on the journey with us. And we apologize to all the introverts who are here. We'll help you get some therapy afterwards. But we're not a great church for introverts, because we just feel like God, you know, we're created in community. The Bible says that God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, together, they created us. And he said, let us make man in our image. And so you and I were created in community, and we're created for community. And the church is really meant to be the community in which we grow and accomplish, learn and accomplish God's purposes for ourselves, but more importantly, for the world that he's placed us in. Because sad to say, it's not all about you. You're not placed here for you. You were actually placed here for him, that we would accomplish his purposes, and that we would bring him glory. And that's what we want to do as a church. Our heart is to get to know Jesus better and to bring others to know Jesus. And that's what we're here for. And so we love that we get to journey together. And as a church, there's always people who are just here for a moment and here with us. And especially, I want to just welcome and recognize there's a team from Texas that's here. Why don't you guys stand? Yeah. All the Texans are excited, and they're here on a 10-day mission. We love anybody who loves our nation and who comes to serve and to be a blessing here. I met another, Luana, was it? Luana, and she said, well, you know, what are you doing? She says, I just came here to pray. I felt called to pray for this country, and amen. Join with us as we pray for this country. God's put us here for a purpose, for a reason. And wherever God takes us, we tend to, in our humanity, think that it's for our blessing. And that's kind of the perspective that we walk through life with. God, how can you bless me? What do you have for me as I'm walking through life? But honestly, what God wants to grow us up to be is people who look not for where the blessing is for us, but for where we can be a blessing. Because that's what maturity is. And that's what becoming like Christ is. Jesus said, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And his desire for us is that we would grow up to be like him. And so to come here, we want to be a blessing. And our goal is to help you be a blessing. Amen? Are we okay with that? It's church, it's not about you. Sorry about that, you know. But it really is about you. That you would grow up to be the man, the woman that God created you to be. And what He created you to be is a blessing to others. The workplace that God put you in, God put you there for a reason, because there's people who need Jesus and who need a blessing, and you carry that blessing. The family that you were birthed into, God put you there for a reason, that you would be a blessing to that family. The school, you might think, I chose this school and I chose these classes. But if you're walking with God, then God has not an ulterior motive, but actually the foundational purpose for you being in the classes that you're in, which is to be a blessing. And so as we look at the journey of Nehemiah, we're going to just unpack today. We're in chapter 7. We're going to just unpack what that looks like and how God's purposes all come together in our life when we begin to see ourselves as being there to be a blessing for others. And so would you join with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we are just grateful that you've placed us here with intention. That we're not living this life by accident. That we're not just here kind of making our own way. But that, Father, you have desires for us. You have intentions. You have plans that you've laid out, Lord, to get the most out of our lives. That you created us on purpose. And that as we draw closer to you, we come more and more into alignment with what we were created for. That the greatest satisfaction in life and the greatest impact in life only comes as we walk with you and we become who you've created us to be. And so today, Lord God, as we look into your word, our prayer is that it wouldn't just be more information, not even just more inspiration, but truly there to be transformation. That as we look into the scriptures, Lord, we would hear your voice speaking to us, because your voice transforms us. And that as we look into the scriptures, we would see you, because you said that when we see you, we become more like you. And so in these next few minutes that we spend together looking into your word, God, we pray that we would become more like you. That we would hear, Lord, not the voice of what Pastor Bruce wants to share, but that we would hear what your spirit wants to say to us. And so we'll open up our hearts and we just say, Holy Spirit, you come. You talk to us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Nehemiah, the journey. The sermon is come together. And it's both about things coming together, because we're halfway. We've passed the halfway point in Nehemiah. And the intention for which he came to Jerusalem is coming together. They've now finished building the wall around Jerusalem, and he's rallying the people, and he's starting to now set them on the course for why God had Jerusalem be built and why God's people were placed in Jerusalem. And you and I, you know, there's lessons here for you and I as we're here in Taiwan. As a church, we love what God says in Jeremiah chapter 20, 29, where he says, you know, be a blessing to the place where God's placed you. And whether you're born here, or you're just passing through, or you're making this your new home, God's intention is that you would be a blessing in this place. And so today, our prayer is that as we share the word, you would hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, say, telling you how you can be a blessing here in Taiwan. Because as expats, we're famous for coming in, getting all we can from the places that we live and getting as much blessing as we can and then heading out. And that's not the heart of God. And so we want to have a heart more like his, amen? Let's be more like Jesus, amen? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, let's be more like Jesus. It's good. So you're helping me. We're preaching together, right? It's not just me. We're preaching together. All right, come together. That's our message today. We're looking in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1, and we're just going to kind of walk through it and apply it to our lives individually and as a church. All right, so chapter 7, verse 1 says, now when the wall had been built, so the story is that Jerusalem had been taken over by the Babylonians, the Persians. They'd come in and they had decimated the city, carried off slaves, taken the wealth of the city, and then they torn down the walls of the city so it could no longer defend itself, so they would have easy access anytime. And it would dissuade them from trying to rebel against Babylon because they had no defense. And so for 140 years, the walls had been torn down. For 70 years, they had been on a process of trying to rebuild the walls, and they had been unsuccessful over 70 years. And now in 52 days, Nehemiah had rallied the people, gathered them together, and rebuilt the walls. So in 52 days, praise God, you know, 70 years, and then in the last 52, that oftentimes that's kind of how it works. We're hoping that that's how it works with us. We've been searching for a year and a half for a place to meet, and now we're down to a month and a half. And so we're saying, God, you know, get us to the right place. So exciting when you follow Jesus. But I heard Daan Park's really big and has nice trees. So, you know, we'll just go out there. All right. Now when the wall had been built and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites had been appointed, here's what's happened. The walls and the doors, the gates had finally been built. When we left it in chapter 6, they had built the walls, but not yet the gates. And as we unpack this, the walls and the gates, what they speak of in our lives personally, walls are like the structures in our lives that keep us safe. Some of the structures, when you get the structures in your life set in place, it's things like your daily time with God. Are you getting into the Word every day? Are you praying every day? Do you come to church regularly on Sundays and hear what God is saying to us as a church body? Because God loves to put people into communities. We're not built to live this life on our own. That's why when you're born into a family. And we have, of all of creation, we humans, we stick with our families the longest of all other animals, you know, on earth. We're there 18, 24, 36 years with our parents, right? It keeps getting longer and longer and longer. Other animals, they never even meet their parents. This little egg that's left on the bottom of the ocean or something, you know, and then you pop out and where's mom and dad? You're on your own, you know, go for it. I always love those I love Animal Planet, right? And I love those shows about that, like the turtles coming out, you know, and they bust out and then they just got to find their way to the ocean and then they're on their own. And it's just, they run this, you know, everyone's trying to eat them and kill them and they're just on their own. Imagine if that was like us, right? My goodness, praise God that he birthed us into families because we need it. Of all of God's creation, we are the ones who are made for community. And so you're made to be a part. First the natural, then the spiritual. You're born into a family. God wants to place you in a spiritual family. More than that, we have our connect groups where you just find a community of men or women that you do life together with. As small as we are, I mean, we're not that large. When you think that Taiwan has 24 million people, there's a few of them, I think, that still don't know Jesus. And so I think we still need some room in our church for more. But as small as we are, still you can't know everybody, even at this size. And you can't do life with everybody here. You don't have enough nights in the week or days in the week or days in the year. So we form into small community groups, our connect groups, to do life together. But I love, he doesn't just talk about the building itself. So you have structures you have in your life. Your finance is one of the structures in your life, a job, you know, family, if you're going to get married, all these things are different structures that we put into our lives that help us to live life the way God intended, all right? So we just have daily practices in our lives. The doors are the places where we influence and are influenced in our lives. Who do you let into your life? And what are you, how are you, and who are you influencing? Where does what's in your heart and soul come out? And who does it impact? Those are the doors in our lives, and they're important. And you're the doorkeeper of your life. And so who are you letting in and letting out? What kind of influence? And then he goes and says, he doesn't stop there, though, because he recognizes it's not just about the physical city, but it's about the people inside. And it's about the purpose for the people inside. And he says, there's the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites. The gatekeepers are those who have oversight. right? Those who rule, who take care, who serve by overseeing. Those are the gatekeepers. They have a responsibility. They have the responsibility to make sure that everyone's safe, that things are functioning well. And so in a church, we need gatekeepers. In any community, we need gatekeepers. As the church, wherever we are here in Taipei, God actually calls us to be gatekeepers in this city. Because in the end, it's the spiritual powers that rule and reign over every city. And guess who has the most influence with spiritual powers? It's you and I. And I think we spend, sometimes as a church, we spend too much time complaining about government leaders and business leaders and everybody else, when really the finger comes back to us and says, what are we doing in the spiritual realm where the real authority is? Because that's on us. And if we're not effective in our prayer lives, if we're not effective in speaking righteousness and influencing lives for righteousness, then the finger really comes back to us to say, we got to get better in our prayer life. We have to get better at speaking righteousness, at influencing others. We have to show people what love really looks like. We can't just complain that others don't know how to love. Because where else are you going to learn how to love if they can't come to we who are filled with the God who is love, who know the God who is love, if we're not showing them how to love and if we're not spreading that love? We can't say, well, the education system's not teaching them how to love well. It's on us as the church. And so that's why we want to get better at it. That's why we come together, because none of us is good at it on our own. But as we encourage each other, as we begin to have one heart and one mind and say, let's get better at loving. Let's get better at loving ourselves to begin with, so that becomes a model. And then what we experienced here, we can take out there. Because it's not just about this. So gatekeepers, singers, that's those that connect. The Bible says that God loves to come where people worship. And singing is a place where we connect to the Lord. It's that place of intimacy with God. And as a church, we need that. And then Levites are those who serve and create a place for people to meet with God in practical ways. Organize us so that we can have church service. I know you think we just kind of show up on a Sunday and everything happens, but there's actually like teams of folks like back there who make this happen and create a place so that you and I can come and we can receive from God. And as Nehemiah says, we're wrapping things up. He says, it's not just about the physical building, but it's really about the people in the building. And as we look for a new space, a new location to meet in, you know, what's more important than finding the new church building is becoming the church God called us to be, who we are as a church. Because we can have the nicest building and totally miss the point. I think I might have shared this last week, but you know, as we've just studied church growth over the past 50 years, the top 10 nations where Christianity has grown the most are all in Asia and the Middle East. Praise God, we're in Asia. Yeah, you can give yourself a hand. It's okay. Hey, Asia, God's put you here. But you know, when we think about Christianity, I don't know about you, but maybe this is just because I come from America. I always think the biggest and the most beautiful churches and church buildings seem to be in the West. You know, big churches of 40,000 people and beautiful buildings and things. But in the West, like in America, we have less Christians than we did 50 years ago. We're going in the opposite direction. We're getting more beautiful churches. And when I watch videos, I love watching videos of American churches. They just have beautiful worship services, amazing music. But beautiful church services, beautiful church buildings, but the church is in decline. Number one nation in the world where Christianity has grown the most in the last 50 years? Anybody know? China. And China, you can't even have a church building. You know, you can't even go on the street and say, everybody come to my church, you know. So somewhere, you know, we need to understand the church is not about the building. It's about you and I. That's the most important part. And our prayers as we move to a new church location is that more important than that, we would become a new church. Not new in like throwing away all the past, but new in the next stage of the journey. that we're on a journey, and at each stage of the journey, the church continues to grow, just like we continue to grow up in terms of human growth. As a church, we just continue to grow. Amen? Are we okay with that? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? See, we are God's temple. Paul says this, yet the Most High God does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says. The God who made the whole world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. So it's not the church building that God is looking at. What he's looking at is you and I. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Jesus is the first, the foundational, the cornerstone of the building. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You and I, we're living stones. We're the building of God. What I love is that Jesus is a stone here with us. That as we build, he's here building with us. Because that's what makes this special. That's why every Sunday is so exciting, because when we come, God is always faithful to be here. We don't come here to try to perform our best for God in hopes that he'll show up. We come here because God promises every time two or three of us come together, he's here. So we just come to celebrate him being here with us. And when he's here with us, he wants to move in our lives. He wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. I love what Bertina did, just having everybody pray for each other. Because in the end, as we learn to pray for each other, all of us as Christians, we have God in us. And we have to learn how to carry that blessing and give it away to others. So we practice here in church. That's why we have everybody pray for each other, because it's not about people coming and hearing the high priest standing on the stage. It's really about all of us carrying the presence of God with us and learning to be a blessing wherever we go. That's what this is about. We're living stones. We carry the presence of God with us, whether we're under a tree in Don Park or in a nice church building. Amen? All right. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2. I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing those right, but the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem, for he was more faithful and God-fearing than many men. And I love these two guys that have similar names, Hanani and Hananiah. One means God has been gracious, and the other means the Lord has been gracious, which basically just means these are guys who have the favor of God on their lives. If you remember at the beginning when we started in Nehemiah 1, Hanani is actually Nehemiah's brother. And he was the one who first came to Nehemiah and said, hey, the walls of Jerusalem are still torn down and need fixing. And he was the one who initiated that burden on Nehemiah's heart that set everything into motion. And so it was a collaboration. And here he is still at the end, still has that heart for Jerusalem. And Hananiah, the governor in charge of the castle, he says he was more faithful and God-fearing, or he had more integrity. He was a guy that was the same, walked with God, whether people were watching or not. He was a man of God who trusted God in every situation. So Nehemiah said, I can trust you to oversee this city, because you're always going to do what God is telling you to do. You're going to be a man who walks with God. You're going to make decisions that are mature and have integrity. And these are the kinds of men that we need in our lives, kind of women that we need in our lives. Do you have men or women who've brought the favor of God into your life? People that know you can trust their integrity. They're gonna behave in ways that honor God, whether or not anyone is ever gonna know. I look back over my life and I can tell you there are a lot of seasons in my life where I think, you know, if people were seeing what I'm doing, I'm going to have to do a lot of explaining. And that's why I need men in my life who know everything about me. Because outside of that, I'm a rascal, you know, I'm not a good person. I know some of you guys are just so holy, you don't even need the Holy Spirit. But me, I need somebody. I need both the Holy Spirit and I need some guys to slap my head sometimes and just say, where'd you get that stupid idea? What the heck are you doing to yourself? But we need that in our lives. And so I've got guys in my life, when I'm in trouble, I call them. I try to call them before I get in trouble, you know, and just say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? You know, I'm feeling this in my life. You know, I feel like I'm being tempted in this area in my life. I need people like that. I need guys who know all about my life, every area of my life. Because I want to be a faithful man. I want to be a person that not only trusts God, but that God can trust. So can God trust you to bring some of his broken kids into your life? That you'll love them. That you'll care for them. Can God trust us to love Taipei the way that he does? That's the kind of church we want to be. And none of us can do that on our own. We don't just naturally become loving people full of integrity. We need people to help us, encourage us along the way. And so he has his Hanani and Hananiah. And I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. So he made these guys gatekeepers over Jerusalem. And I love this. He said, don't open the gates until the sun is hot. What does that speak to? He's saying, you know, we're still vulnerable. We've only just recently come together and built these walls. And there's still people who want to come in and knock us off. You know, in transition times, in times of change, is when opposition always comes. And it comes sometimes as direct opposition. Sometimes it's more distraction. Sometimes it's more deception. But the enemy will always try to stop God's purposes in your life. And he fights harder the closer you get to those purposes. So if you're experiencing a lot of opposition in your life, a lot of distraction, a lot of deception, a lot of just hard circumstances, you can just know that you're getting close to what God has for you. So the enemy is trying to shake you off of that. He's trying to stop that in your life. And if you haven't, it's coming. Because the enemy doesn't like any of you. He wants to stop all of you. And he'll be looking for you. The good thing is we got God on our side. Amen. We don't have to be afraid of the enemy. We just have to be wise. Because the enemy always will try to separate you off and pick you off. If you watch Animal Planet, you know that's the predator to always try to separate, you know. All great wisdom is we find in Animal Planet, National Geographic, and you love nature. BBC Earth is amazing. My favorite TV shows. Anyway, but you learn so much wisdom. You know, the enemy is always going to try to pick you off and get you to be on your own. Don't let him do that to you. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't let the enemy pick you off. Just, no, I mean it. Stop that. don't slap him on the head. Don't do that. All right. But he says here, don't let the gates be open until the sun is out. What is he saying? Wait until there's full light. Then open the gates. Keep them closed while there's still shadows and darkness. And you know, in our lives, when we talk about our gates, our influence, and the enemy will always, in the darkness, in our dark times, when we're depressed, alone, is when the enemy wants to come in and he wants to influence your life for destruction, to make stupid decisions, to mess yourself up and mess up others. And so when you're in those times of darkness, whether it's depression or discouragement or opposition or confusion, in those times, those are not times to open up your life to influence from the enemy. You need to be careful. You need some gatekeepers. You need a Hanani and a Hananiah to say, shut that gate, bro. Shut down your social media. Stop that. Quit going to those bars and hanging out with those friends, because that is only the enemy trying to destroy your life. Is that okay? Is it okay for us to be honest here and not just kind of, you know? Because this is what the enemy does in our lives. And it's time we just got to wake up and say, enemy, I recognize. And I'm just not going to let you keep picking me off. Amen. And while they're standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. In other words, don't leave the gate unattended. While you're still there, shut and bar the doors. Don't just shut it. Make sure it stays closed. Make sure your heart is secure. Make sure the places of influence in your life are only open to the light, are only open to the people you want to bring in. Don't leave it up to chance. You guard your heart. And you get a Hanani and a Hananiah to guard your heart with you. If you don't have guys in your life or women in your life who know what's going on, do you have anybody who knows your social media? Who knows your internet stuff? Is that too close to home? You know? Who knows when you go, when you have a night off, and who you hang with and what you talk about? See, this is what we need in our lives. Because the enemy's not just playing around. We're not just playing around. We have an assignment from God. And we are serious about seeing God. We want to see what you have in store for us. We want to see it come to pass. We don't want to just live a good life and say, you know, I used all the grace of God to make sure I had a good bank account and some nice clothes and a nice place to live. That is not why God placed you here on earth. That is not why we have church. All right, is that okay? Are we good? Good, stepping on my toes. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts and some in front of their own homes. Everybody has an assignment. Your home. Do you know where home is? To start with, right? Do you know where's the family? And then do you have an assignment, a guard post? Like where's God placed you? 7:4, the city was wide and large, but the people within it were few and no houses had been built. You know, what God spoke to us as we started into this capital campaign is enlarge, actually the beginning of the year before the capital campaign, is enlarge the place of your tent. And so this is what they did. The city was brought wide and large, and there's plenty of room for many people. And as a church, even as we've been looking for places, at first we're just looking for places that would fit where we are now. But then we realized, you know, it's not about us. We're not just moving to find a place that fits us, that we like. If that's the goal of our lives, we're just as self-centered as God said, don't be. You know, we're just getting narcissistic. We're self-centered. We're just selfish. And that's the last thing that the church needs to be. So when we look for a place, we have to think, will this be a place that fits those that God wants to bring in? Those that are hurting. Those that have no home. That's where our heart needs to be. We need to create space for them. And so Jerusalem had space for them. For more to come in. Because it wasn't just to protect those already there. And when we talk about enlarge the place of our tent, it's not just for the building, but it really begins with enlarging our hearts. Do we have hearts big enough? Because we can have all kinds of space in the building, but if our hearts aren't big enough, guess what? People will pick up on that. So I go there, but I don't feel the love. I don't feel wanted there. I don't feel like family there. And that kind of stuff is not just in the walls and the air. It's in you and I. What's in our heart? Do we have a large enough heart to embrace whoever walks through those doors? Because that's the way that Jesus loves. And he said, now my commandment is you love the way that I did. Which is Jesus said, I love you before you even knew me. So we got to love people before they even meet us. Right? We have to say, everybody who walks in that door, every stranger, we're already going to love them. So look around. So this is the time when you can look around and say, is there anybody here in church today that I don't know? That's who I got to love. Do they know I love them? Then you got to make it known. So what we need to practice as a church is not just loving people inside. We have to learn to love people out loud. Because the world will never know that we love them and that God loves them if we don't tell them. They won't know just because you dress so nice. Oh, God must really love you because you dress so nice. You know, we have to get used to expressing God's love. And so this is where we practice. It's the safe place to practice. Expressing the love of God. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. See, Jesus wants to come into our lives. But we are the gatekeepers of our lives. And for others, some others, we're Hananiah and Hananiah. We help be the gatekeepers for other people's lives. And we got to say, are you opening the doors of your life for Jesus? How's your quiet time going? When you read the word, do you see Jesus? Or do you just get information? When you pray, do you hear Jesus? Are you talking to Jesus? Or are you just kind of doing a religious activity? When you come to church and in fellowship time, when you're in a connect group, are you meeting with Jesus? Are we helping each other to bring Jesus into our lives? This is what church is about. Because Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts. He wants to come in. And so you're the gatekeeper of your life and of the lives of your brothers and sisters. And so we have to say, what kind of influence am I allowing in? And what kind of influence am I letting out? Be extra on guard when you're in the tough times. And I don't know about you, but I know for my wife and I, as we've been just, you know, as we pastor the church, so many people walking just through tough seasons, painful moments, disappointments, hard circumstances in their own lives, in their families. And so I want to encourage, this is a time when, as a church, we need to draw together. You know, as a staff, we've been just praying every morning. And every morning, our prayers have really just been for people. We know we want to pray and God give us a new space. But our prayers really have just been, God, come and help. God, come and minister to people. Because that's the church. We're the church. And today, if you've never met Jesus in that way, if for you Christianity has always been just like some religion, something that I do so that I can earn points with God, then today Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Because what he wants is a relationship with you. What he wants is to walk with you through your hard times, through your good times. He loves you. That's why he created you. And whether you're going through a hard time or a good time, Jesus says, I want to be there. It's like when you love someone, you know, my wife, I love my wife. And I can remember when we were walking in New York and then she just tripped and fell. My heart wasn't, oh, she fell. Kind of embarrassing. Everybody's going to look and say, who is that person? No, my heart is to go right down to her and say, help her up. Are you hurt? See, that's what Jesus wants to do in our lives. When we stumble and we fall, he wants to come right alongside. Say, can I help? And it doesn't matter whether you caused that stumble or it just was an accident or someone pushed you down. I don't tell my wife, oh, why did you trip yourself? You know, if someone had pushed you down, then I would really care for you. But you just tripped yourself. That's not how. And yet, sometimes we think that's how this works. It's not at all God's heart as his children. But he also loves coming to the birthday party. He loves celebrating with us. And if you've not experienced Jesus in that way, if you've not experienced Jesus freeing you from shame and guilt, if you've not experienced Jesus giving you hope and direction, then I want to encourage you today, open your hearts to Jesus. In fact, let's just pray right now. Just bow your heads. I'm just going to say a simple prayer of inviting Jesus to come and be a part of our lives. Lord Jesus, we come to you today. Some of us, we've walked with you a long time. And we've just enjoyed that journey. Others of us, we don't even know what that means for you to walk with us, to know the God of the universe, to have Jesus in our hearts. And Father, today we just come, and Lord, wherever we're at, we just say, first of all, God, any areas in our life where there's sin, where we've disappointed you, we've failed you, we've, Lord, sinned against you, we ask that you would forgive us. And that the blood you shed on the cross would wash away our sins. And we're asking that you would come, be our Lord, that God, you would be our Heavenly Father, that we would become your sons and daughters and know the love that you have for us, and the discipline that you bring out of love, and the direction that comes because you know who we are and who we can be. So come and be Lord of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if that's the first time that you've ever prayed a prayer like that, or if you really want to pray a prayer like that and mean it, then at the end of the service, we'll have people up here up front, just our prayer ministers, and we encourage you to come and talk to them or talk to a Christian you know and just say, hey, I want to know Jesus in that way. And so then God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials and the people. And I found the book of the genealogy of those who came up at first. And I found written in it, these sought their registration among those. So first of all, Nehemiah said, let's assemble together. And honestly, Capital Campaign is about us assembling together as a church, saying, let's just join together. Some of you, you're just guests, or you're just here because you're just checking Jesus out. You're checking the church out. That's great. We love having people who are just checking it out. And we hope that you taste and see that God is good. But others of you, you know your family, that this is the place. And as we come to this Capital Campaign, it's really so much less about the money and more about us as a church recognizing that, okay, this is home. And if God is calling us together, let's come together. And let's find our place. I love how he goes through the genealogy and say, do you have connection here? Are you part of a family here? Are you part of a connect group? Do you have relationships here? Are you building? Verse 64 says, these sought the registration among those enrolled in the genealogy, but it's not found. It was so serious that you couldn't serve as a priest if you didn't know your family, who you're connected to. Verse 6 says, these were the people of the province who came up out of captivity. So he's gathering them all together. Jump down to the end of the chapter. It says, they came together and everybody gave. Because now they had the walls, but they needed to restore the function of the temple. And for us in this Capital Campaign, it's not about the new property. It's really about us ministering in the way that God's called us to minister here. And so today we're kicking off the collection of our Capital Campaign. And I love here it says, some of the heads of the fathers' houses gave to this work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 darics of gold. And so the leaders, we start with us, my wife and I giving. Some people already beat us to the punch. They started giving before we even started collecting. But praise God for that. But today we're kicking it off. So we filled in our card, we prayed, and we like to do this where we pray and then we get a number from God, and then we write it down and say, okay, what did you get? You know, and then we found out we nailed it this time. It was great. We nailed the same one. I know some families, some of my friends who are like pastors, say when they do that, if it's different, then they have to add the two together. So I say, God, really, you got to speak to us and maybe, you know, get us the same one, you know. And it's a lot for us, you know. It'll be a sacrifice for us. Is that things we won't be able to do in order to do that? So we have an amount that we're given for the first time. You pull this thing out. There's an amount you give on as a first gift, and then we have an amount that we're believing God for over the next 2 years, our faith commitment. And so the governor gave 1,000 as one person, and some of the leaders says some of the heads of the houses gave 20,000 darics. A darik is a 1 month wage, so 20,000 months worth. And then the rest of the people also gave 20,000. And so everybody gives, everybody contributes in this moment. And it's not a matter of everybody giving a lot. It's not a matter of how much you give. It's a matter of just saying, you know, let's join in and be a part of what God is doing. If this is your house, they would encourage you to jump on in. And whether it's hard money, 50 NT dollars, or it's paper money, or it's bank account stuff, you know, we encourage you to jump in and be a part. And so we also, so we have these cards here to fill in. That's the front side of the card. It just has the scripture: enlarge the place of your tent, let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out, do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And we know that God wants to enlarge our hearts, enlarge our vision, so that we see ourselves and the city around us the way that he sees us. And last of all, enlarge our home so that all those that, that God wants to love can come and be a part. And then there's the card itself. In the middle there is where you can fill in. Now, and so the stop is initial offering, what you'd want to give as an initial offering. And then we have a faith commitment. And in that faith commitment, it might be something, say, for the next 2 years, every week, this is what I'm believing God for. I'm going to give up a cup of, you know, boba tea and give that to God. Whatever it is, whatever amounts you, that God puts on your heart. In the end, it's really you and God. It's a faith commitment, faith that and faith is trusting God for what he wants to do in our lives. Faith isn't us trying to manipulate God to do what we want him to do. Faith is us aligning our hearts to trust in him for what he wants to do. And so if you haven't yet heard from God, that's fine. You just take your time. We want you to hear from God. What does God want you to do? And it might be weekly, might be monthly, might be yearly. And some of you, it might help to get two of these. And then we have the total. And then take a picture. Like my wife and I will just take a picture. And then we turn one in. And then we keep one for ourselves so that there's something we can pray over. As a church, in all the capital campaigns I've done, I've never called someone up and say, hey, you're not giving. hey, it's coming up. You know, you're not there yet. This is really between you and God, right? But it helps us to have a sense of where we're at. And so that's why we asked you to turn it in, to say, this is what we're believing for. And then over the next, 2 years, we'll just keep a track of saying, here's how much we're believing God with you, because we're believing God with you. As God puts a faith challenge, you know, we want to be like the Hananiah, and Hananiah come alongside and say, okay, we can do this together. But all of us, we want to just believe God together. Amen. So, we're gonna take these up. To give you a moment, if you haven't filled it in yet, you can pray now, or you can come in the in future weeks. There also, if you go online, it's in our line chat. If you go on the church line chat or on our webpage, you'll be able to download FAQs, frequently asked questions. There's something like 20 questions that people ask. You get a lot more information, like, you know, can I change my commitment? What are you going to do with the money? Is this a biblical thing we're doing? You know, so it just goes through all those kinds of questions that you have. And if it's not answered there, there's an email. You can always send us other questions that you have. We're happy to answer them. And then we'll start just saying, here's what's been pledged. Here's what's come in. And we'll just track it together. And our goal is to be able to celebrate together what God does. We're believing God to do a miracle amongst us as a church, believing God together. And we always, you know, we've had a number of miracles in the church. We've seen miraculous healings. We've seen miraculous provision. We've seen miraculous babies. We don't have enough yet for our own book, but we're on our way. You know, so we're waiting to get to make our own miracles in Taipei book. But you know, so we just want to, we're believing God that God will do a miracle here through these finances. Amen. So let's just pray. Let's take a moment. Father, we thank you for all that you've blessed us with, that you've called us to be here in Taipei at this moment, and to be, Lord, a representation of you. Father, I pray that not only do you have a physical space for us to move into, but God, that you are shaping and molding us as living stones into a temple where people can come and meet God. And that we take your presence, Lord, as a church and begin to spread it, Lord, throughout Taipei, Taiwan, and surrounding nations. Father, in this moment, Lord, as we come, we know it's really not about the money and it's not about the building, but it's about our hearts. And in this moment, God, our desire is to hear from you and to trust in faith that what you say, how you want to use us to be a blessing, God, that you'll provide. And so we look to you, Lord God. Bless you. bless, Lord God. We pray, Lord, all the finances that come in our hearts to hear you and to believe in faith for you to provide. That your purposes would be fulfilled, you would be glorified, and many sons and daughters would come to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As a church, we want to be open about our finances, because all we have comes from the Lord, and it's for his purposes. Why don't you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, today as we kick off this capital campaign, we just recognize that it's so easy to become selfish and self-centered. To think that it's all about us, that it's our money and it's our lives and it's our time. God, I pray that you break that off of us as individuals, as a church. Lord, we just remember your words that you said, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it dwells alone. And that unless we're willing to lay down our lives and take up our cross, we really can't follow you. And Lord, there's just nothing so selfless as the cross. And so we pray, Lord God, that in this moment, that through this capital campaign, it would be less about the money that we raise and more about the people that we become. That we'd become a selfless people. That we'd become a generous people. That we'd become a people who don't look first to be blessed, but look first to be a blessing. That we would discover the truth of what Jesus said, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. That we'd be those people who have your eyes to look for places and people that need love. That we would have your heart. You promised us, Lord, that you would give us a new heart. And God, we're asking that you would exchange our hard, selfish hearts for your soft heart. Heart that loves and feels. And that, God, we would enlarge the place of our home to have room for all. People who are like us, people who are different than us, but any that you call, that, Lord, we would have welcomed them with open arms. So, God, we're grateful for these moments that you've called us to partner with you to be a blessing here in Taiwan. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.